This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Balt Butwards. Haiti's government has sent an emergency boatload of fuel to the northern part of the country, which has been cut off as the result of anti-government rebellions along the country's only north-south highway. The rebels are mainly gangs that used to support President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, but recently turned against him. NPR's Martin Costi traveled to Haiti's northern province and filed this report.
Young men dicker over the last dregs of fuel at a gas station in the impoverished northern port of Cap Haitien. Gas prices here tripled after the city was cut off last week, and the locals started buying up what there was left to resell by the pint. The 500,000 people who live here have also had a week without electricity because tanker trucks can't deliver the diesel fuel needed by the power plants. In the city's hospital, the lights came on for a few hours because Fito Alce, a young tailor from a nearby town, went out and bought 6 gallons of gas with his own money to power the hospital generator during his brother's operation. His brother was hit by a bullet that came through his window. He was the second person injured by stray bullets in that house in the same week. They live in a nearby town called Dondon, where pro- and anti-government gangs have been battling for control.
These were individuals walking around the city in masks, wearing these different ski masks. I can't really say to which political party they belong.
This part of Haiti, already desperately poor, has descended into a cycle of political intimidation. In small towns along the highway, anti-government gangs attack the police and anyone identified with President Aristide. Here in Cap Haitien, pro-Aristide gangs search out the opposition, and the streets are empty after sundown. Medical student Farah Montpreville says when the gang warfare started, the hospital cleared out.
Everybody left. The patient came to me, "Doctor, I'm not staying tomorrow morning. Give me prescription, I'm going home."
Montpreville says the senior doctors also left, in part because they were afraid of what might happen if the gang showed up demanding medical treatment and they didn't have the supplies to comply. She says pro-government thugs known as chimères have pulled guns on the doctors before. And she says they can't even look to the police for help.
We called the police, they didn't come. Finally, when they came, they were talking like friendly people with the chimères. Now we don't trust them.
With the doctors gone and the police untrustworthy, these young medical students feel desperately abandoned. The hospital was in bad shape as it was. The students wear mismatched scrubs that were donated by American hospitals, some with the names of American doctors still on the pockets. So now they've partially shut the hospital down, accepting only the most urgent cases. Although the city has been cut off from southern Haiti, there's still informal commerce in the streets during daylight hours, and there appears to be sufficient locally grown food. Myrto Julien is the national government's representative here, essentially the local governor. He rejects the reports of violent gangs inside the city. He says some pro-government citizens are just trying to help the police to keep out the anti-government forces, whom he calls terrorists. He says people stay indoors at night because they're afraid of the dark, which is why the government is shipping in diesel fuel for the generators.
Right now, if it was not for the scarcity of the fuel, and if we could get electricity and fuel in all the gas stations, life could return quite status quo.
But the arrival of the fuel won't change the fact that Haiti's second largest city remains inaccessible by land, not only from the capital, but also from the neighboring Dominican Republic. As neither side of this political battle seems to have the manpower to win a definitive victory anytime soon, Haiti's provinces run the risk of sinking into a tense new status quo. Martin Costi, NPR News, Haiti.